This would have been mind-blowing for the apostles, to the point that Peter, in one moment, is saying that you are indeed the Son of God, and in the next moment is trying to talk God out of doing the will of God by telling Jesus, you know, don't go to Jerusalem. And Christ, of course, says, get behind me, Satan, because he has received this human outlook that he's trying to push onto the will of God. So Jesus knows, from all eternity, that the disciples are going to need something to help them comprehend what's happening to him on Calvary. So he takes them to Tabor. And not all of them, but three representatives of the apostles. Peter, who would be the first leader and pope of the church. James, who would be the bishop of Jerusalem, the central diocese of that early church. And John, the beloved apostle, who would represent all of us at the cross and receive Mary as our mother. So he pulls them up onto the mountain. And they don't know why they're going up there, but when they go up, Jesus becomes transfigured. He lets them see a glimpse of his divinity. And not only him, but Moses and Elijah. Moses, who is the giver of the law and represents the law given by God to the forefathers in the desert. And Elijah, the greatest of the prophets, representing the prophetic vision that called for the coming of the Messiah. And Jesus as the central figure between them, showing that he would be the fulfillment of both the law and the prophets. Now this must have been an incredible thing to see. An amazing vision of the divinity of Christ. And it does make sense then that Peter wants to stay there. In fact, Peter wants to hold on to this vision so much that he says, let me build three tents. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And we can just stay up here in your glory forever. And of course, that's a very human way of thinking about it. And the fact that he wanted to build tents really harkens back to the Old Testament, when the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, was kept in a tent. But Christ, of course, has a much greater vision for humanity. His fulfillment is going to be more than simply a vision of God or a cloud dwelling in a tent. He wants to make his dwelling within each of us. But he can't do that by staying on Mount Tabor. And that's what Peter can't understand. He will eventually. In order to achieve that salvation and that giving of himself that allows him to dwell within us, Jesus has to go to a different mountain, Mount Calvary. The mountain that none of the apostles want to go to, because they know that there they're going to encounter suffering, death, and seemingly an end to their hope. But of course, Christ will rise again and take them to a third mountain where he'll ascend to the Father. This first mountain is just a prefiguration of the glory that's left to each of us. But before we can get there, like the apostles, we have to go through life. We have to go from Tabor to Calvary. Each of us has that experience. When a couple is first married, that's a transfiguring experience. A moment full, hopefully, of great joy. But after that comes 1,000 little sufferings and moments of joy. But it's not all easy. And that's where the real vocation takes place. That's where the rubber hits the road and two people work out their salvation, making each other saints. When a parent holds their child for the first time, that's a transfiguring moment. But then come 1,000 diaper changes, driving them to every practice under the sun, paying for college, all of the sufferings that come, and the joys. But it's a lot of suffering that comes with each of these experiences. But that's how we find our salvation. Even for priests, it's a moment of great joy when you're ordained and you give out your first blessings. You have the reception with your family and friends. But then you come to Our Lady of Hope. Now, I actually have a lot of joy here. But there is difficulty. You do have to go through a lot of difficulty helping people walk through their sufferings. And in doing all of that, though, we find a deeper joy. When the apostles finally came back to Christ after the resurrection, they encountered beatings and rejection, shipwrecks, and yet you won't find people who talk about joy more than they do. Because they're not doing it alone. Christ, when he brings you to Calvary, he stays there with you. The apostles may have abandoned him, and we may abandon Christ all the time, but he never leaves us. That's the promise. So we have to hold on to the memory of those transfiguring moments, but find the deeper joy in our march towards Calvary. Because we know that if we stay with Christ throughout whatever our vocation is, whatever we're called to, and don't allow the sufferings of life, which are inevitable, to make us bitter and angry and self-centered, but rather, whenever we encounter suffering, we open up our hearts to each other and to the Lord, then we'll experience that deeper joy. That joy that the apostles write about even in the midst of their suffering. And of course, any suffering then is wiped out in that moment when God calls us to himself. Having run the good race, having fought the good fight, and having come at last to our eternal reward with our Lord in heaven on Mount Zion, where he promises that every tear will be wiped from our eyes and we will find eternal rest.